Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, that your mercies are new every morning. We thank you that your grace is amazing. God, we thank you that you're for us, that you lead us, that we're your children, God, that we're in your family. God, we thank you that in Christ Jesus we have life. We have that to the full. We thank you, Lord, even as it was shared, that we can exchange the past and our sin for righteousness and holiness and life in Christ Jesus, for joy and peace, God. And so we again come to you this morning, humbled and blessed and full of faith to engage with your word, to know more about you because we love you. We love you. Bless this time. In Jesus, your name. Amen. Well, welcome to Advent. This is the Christmas season. Welcome to Advent. It's an exciting time of year. It's a time of year when the rest of the world finally starts to get at least a little bit of a clue that there is someone called Jesus and that God does exist and he's real. And at least there's some radar out there that's picking up in this world Jesus. It's Advent season. I want to submit to you this. As we're in the middle of this Christmas season, that this is the time. The time is right and the time is ripe. It's harvest season in this time of year, every single year. Obviously, as believers, we know that every day is a day of enjoying life with Jesus. Every day is Jesus Day. Every day is Christmas. You know what I'm saying? Every day is Advent. Every day we're longing for Him and finding our life and our hope and our everything in Him. But there's a time of year, this month of December, every year, where I believe the church has opportunity to get out there and to get Jesus, really get Jesus into people's lives. All right. I'm getting to my notes now. That wasn't even in there. I'm just excited this morning. Advent. What is it? Advent means coming. It means visit. Advent is a season of preparing, even as we just lit the preparation candle this morning. Advent is a season of preparing for Christmas. It's a season of preparing to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We do that by remembering the longing that the Jews had for a Messiah. They were longing for a Messiah. Oh God, send us a Messiah. And the Lord did. He stepped down out of heaven. And the Messiah showed up. Now, I said it earlier, I know, but we can continue to pray for those who are members of the Jewish nation, who are Israelites, who need to know Jesus, and they need to know that their Messiah has come. The one that they were waiting for all of those years came 2,000 years ago. They can know Him, and everybody, Jew, Gentile alike, they need to know that the Messiah has come. Advent. It's a time for us to remember that we also need a Savior. We need Jesus. During Advent, we also look forward to Jesus' second coming. And that's always front and center on my mind every Advent season. You know, He came, but He's coming back. It's a time, yes, we celebrate the first Christmas, but He's returning. He's coming back. So during this Advent season at Evident Life, we're going to turn our attention to the eternal Jesus. The eternal Jesus, that's going to be the name of our sermon series for the next month, for this whole month of December, for these 4 weeks. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about the eternal Jesus. And in Revelation 1, verse 4, we're introduced to a statement about God's eternality where the Apostle John writes these words. He says, John to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you. From Him, capital H, Jesus, from Him who is, who was, and who is to come. God is eternal. He was, He is, and He is to come. Okay, I thought right there I could just close, you know, because everybody would just be like, woo, that's awesome. He was, He is, He's right now, and He's coming back. Let's get excited about that. I mean, that's the reality that we need to live in, that kind of reality every day. In addition to Revelation, the Apostle John wrote three letters. And it's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. John also wrote one of the Gospels. And the first chapter of the Gospel of John is where we're going to jump into as we're in this Advent season and we're talking about Christmas and Jesus. Now, it's not a typical passage of Scripture that you go to for a Christmas message, because there are no angels talked about, there's no shepherds, there are no wise men, there's not a little cute baby in a manger in Bethlehem. We don't have those things right there in those initial passages in the Gospel of John. But what we do find in the Gospel of John is the truth behind Christmas, because we find the Jesus who was. The Jesus who was. Now I'm going to jump off point just a little bit here and pull it back. So hang with me. Have y'all ever heard of Star Wars? Yeah, there's this big excitement about Star Wars right now. I don't know why. I don't understand it, right? But anyway, so there's a big thing about Star Wars going on right now. But it was back in 1977. That's a long time ago. I was 10 years old. Back in 1977. By the way, my birthday is Friday. I accept all kinds of, you know, gifts and just happy birthdays, whatever it might be. I am on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. You can just say happy birthday there, too. It's free. It's easy. Go ahead and do it. It's this Friday, December 11th. Anyway, so back in 1977, George Lucas came out with the first Star Wars. And in that, we were introduced to Luke Skywalker. And we were introduced to Princess Leia. There they are. They don't look quite like that anymore. But that's who they are. Luke Skywalker, you know. The first thing we see in that first episode of Star Wars, Luke and Leia. We were also introduced to Darth Vader, right? Here he is. There we go. That's enough Star Wars. In 77, they came out with Star Wars. We found Luke and Leia, Darth Vader and all that. But you see, George Lucas decided that he needed to make sure that we understood that there was more to the story, because it didn't all start with Luke and with Leia and all of that. So Lucas took us back in 99 through 2005 to this prequel trilogy that kind of said, hey, there was more to the story. There were things that happened before Luke and Leia. And so this is also what the Apostle John does as he opens up his gospel in John chapter 1. See what I did there? Only by the grace of God you tie Star Wars into John chapter 1. Oh, God, you're good. So John, he doesn't begin his gospel like the others. Matthew traces the genealogy of Jesus. You got Mark, he began his story of the life of Jesus with the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. And then you've got Luke, he gives the story behind Jesus' birth. But John, he takes another track here. He transports us back to eternity past. I'm talking like way back, before creation, before man, before the existence of time. And what John does is he introduces us to the Jesus who was. And in John chapter 1, verse 1, he makes these amazing statements. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Now, later on in John chapter 1, verses 9 through 18, we begin to discover that the Word, the capital W-O-R-D that John is talking about, is Jesus. Verses 9 through 18 is John defining the Word as Jesus, the Son of God. And so in this passage, we're discovering the eternal Jesus. Jesus was. And that's the title of today's message. Jesus was. So you can imagine where we're going in future weeks. He was, he is, he is to come. Today we're going to talk about this amazing reality that Jesus was. Jesus is eternal. And the word eternal means everlasting. It means having no beginning and no end. I love the way that the psalmist in Psalm 90 verse 2 declares this eternality of Jesus. He says, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. From everlasting to everlasting, God is God. He is God. Now, mankind, we measure things in terms of time, and that's just the way it works, you know. We're on this earth right now. We measure things in terms of time, but sometimes that makes it difficult for us to really grasp and imagine something or someone that has no beginning, that has always been and will continue forever. But from everlasting to everlasting, God is God. He is God. It's interesting that the Bible really doesn't even attempt to prove God's existence, and it doesn't even attempt to prove his eternality. But the Bible simply begins with this statement in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. From everlasting to everlasting. In the beginning, God. God's word is saying that at the beginning of recorded time, God existed. From duration stretching backward without limit to duration stretching forward without limit, God has always been. God is God, always and forever. From eternal ages to eternal ages, God was and He is forever, always and forever, God. The world is longing to have an always and forever love. And that's only found in God, the one who is always and forever. Always and forever. Let's go back to John 1. We're going to answer three questions this morning. When was Jesus? Where was Jesus? And who was Jesus? Again, this morning we're talking about Jesus was. So let's go to question number one. When was Jesus? Now we notice John, he didn't say in the beginning is the Word. It's in the beginning was the Word. Was. It's known as a durative imperfect. And it indicates continued action. Continued action. So what this passage is really saying to us is that in the beginning was continuing the Word. And the Word was continuing with God. And the Word was continually God. Always and forever. Always and forever. The Word was in the beginning. But what beginning are we talking about here? Just as far back as you want to go is really what we're talking about. You go back as far back as you want to go and say that's the beginning. Jesus was there. God was there from everlasting to everlasting. Some would say there's got to be some beginning somewhere. Okay, wherever that beginning is, Jesus was already there. He's there. God was there. That is one thing you can know. Jesus was. He always existed. He didn't just come into being in existence in Bethlehem. That wasn't the beginning. He has been here throughout all the endless ages of eternity's past. So when was Jesus? Always. I'm going to ask you this question again, so remember this. When was Jesus?
Always.
Always. Always. Let's continue. Let's discover the answer to the second question this morning. And that was, where was Jesus? You see, the Word, capital W-O-R-D, was not only there. We also know that, as it says in John 1:1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was with God. The phrase literally means that the Word was face to face with God. Face to face with Him. And so where was Jesus? He was with God. Jesus was always with God. We understand that Jesus was also involved in creation. It said that in the third verse of John 1. Through Him, Jesus, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. So Jesus, where was He? He was with God, and He was at creation. The apostle further explains this truth about Jesus being there at creation, and we find that in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, where it says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Do you want to know him? I read a passage like that and I'm like, I want to know him and I want to know him more. He's the one who creates all things and holds all things together. I got things in my life that sometimes I feel like I can't hold together, and it's because I can't. But Jesus, the one who created me, that created everything, can hold it together, can hold me together, can hold you together. Jesus. It's been stated that when you consider this truth that Jesus was the creator of the universe, it makes his birth as a baby in a stable even more amazing. Creator of the universe, born as a baby in a stable. The creator humbled himself and became a creation or a creature in his own creation. He even became dependent upon a human mother. That's amazing. Jesus, who was the agent of creation, literally stepped out of eternity. He laid aside his glory and entered this world as a human baby. But not like a baby into royalty or something to be raised up as a king in this world with riches in this world. But he came humbly in the humblest of surroundings. Jesus who was face to face with God, the one who created all things, did this. Do you ever wonder how far God would go for you? Starting to get a picture here. I'm going to talk about this a lot more next week, so I'm going to be done with that reality right there. And so you got to come back, is what I'm saying. You know what? Just like Star Wars, there's a sequel. You know what? There's more to the story. So when was Jesus? Everyone said,
always.
Where was Jesus? With God. He was with God. Let's continue. Let's look at the third question that's going to be answered by this passage in the Gospel of John. Who was Jesus? Who was Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now it's getting a little crazy, isn't it? He was with God. He was God. The Word literally was God. So Jesus is God. He's always been God. Jesus is God and he will always be God. Jesus is God.
Amen.
He's God. Yeah, people wonder, who's Jesus? He's God. He's God. Now, let's go back to Genesis 1:1. You know, John 1:1 is one thing. But let's go back all the way to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, what was that? God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that word that's translated as God in Genesis 1:1 is Elohim. And Elohim is in the plural form. Plural, not singular, but plural. Pretty exciting. Pretty mind-blowing. So my kids would say, mind-blown. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Later in Genesis 1:23, at the creation of man, God said, now check this out. Let us. God is talking. He said, let us make man in our image. I'll do it again. My kids love this. Mind blown, right? Wow. These passages in Genesis, the one that we just read in John 1:1. You like that, don't you, John? Wow, I'm relating to the young people. Woo! Praise God. So, oh, Lord. These passages in Genesis 1, what we're reading, and that's just that's encouraging us in John 1, and throughout Scripture, we see reference to the Godhead. The Godhead, the Trinity, God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God. God. Trinity means tri-unity. Tri-unity, or it also means three in oneness. God is three persons, yet one God. We try to explain this. We try to wrap our human minds around God, but God is like no other. He is not like us. He is other than. He is God and there is no other. God is God. And we try to wrap our minds around God. And so we come up with ideas, and some of them are pretty good and pretty close, of how to try to explain God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, God, the Trinity, the Godhead. How do we describe Him? You know, one of them is that He's like water and ice and steam. They're all pretty much the same in different expressions. And that gets close, but that's not a full understanding of God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. God in three persons. Jesus, the Word, was with God. But Jesus is God. God is God. Now listen, when I get into things like this, where my mind starts to get blown and it starts to get really difficult to fully comprehend and explain God, I get excited. Do you want to know why I get excited? You think, well, he's a pastor, man. He's supposed to get excited when he feels like he has all the right answers. You know what I'm saying? He's got all the right answers. He's got it all down. He knows it all. I'm going to tell you what. If I ever tell you that I know everything about God and that I know all truth, run. Run, because I would be walking in pride and ignorance at that time. Run. I believe this. I believe that we are going to have all eternity to be blown away by God. Like tomorrow, the next day, 10,000 years and then forevermore, as we sing about. We're going to get to every single day, have our minds blown by finding out more about how big, how beautiful, how loving, how amazing God is. Bam! Bam! Amazing God! And so when I come across something like the Trinity that's amazing, that's other than, that's only God, I get excited because it makes me go, yes, God, you are like no other. You are God. You are God. And I find great comfort in being His Son at that moment. Amen. Come on. Amen. Come on. God in three persons, yet one God. The Father is fully God. The Son is fully God. Holy Spirit is fully God. And I wanted to, at the 9 o'clock service, run off into a whole message about Holy Spirit God and how He is God with us, in us, and He wants to fill your life right now. He wants to move in the fullness. He wants to be fully represented in you and through you. God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus is God. The Father is God. Anyway, it would take quite a series to fully dive into this. So I'm going to just encourage you. Dive in. Dive in. Continue studying God. You'll never be disappointed when you do that. And you know what the Word says? If you seek Him, you'll find Him. You're going to find them. Keep seeking them out. So in John 1:1, we're shown that the Word Jesus was with God. So this shows that distinction between the Son and the Father. But also in the same verse is declared that Jesus was God, clearly underscoring the truth that Jesus, the Son of God, was always God and fully God. So who was Jesus? Jesus was God. And He still is God. And He will always be God. Now, why is all of this so important? Why are we spending this time during Advent, this Christmas season, talking about God? Because we were created to know Him. He wants us to know Him. I want to know Him. Do you want to know Him more? I want to know Him more. And here's the deal. The more we know God, the more alive we become in Him. You know, there's all kinds of little tips and tricks you can do to try to increase your faith or to try to get closer to God or to try to be a better Christian or all of that kind of stuff. There's all kinds of things you can do, and a lot of them are really good. But if it doesn't start with your love of Him that's so great that you want to know Him more and that you're pursuing Him, then none of the other stuff is really going to matter. But we are blessed and we are created. We are created to glorify Him, to chase after Him, and to enjoy Him forever. As it says in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, I love that. About what is the purpose, the chief end of, why are we here? To glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever. And the more you know Him, the more you're going to enjoy Him. Because He is good, and He is good, and He is good, and He is good, and He is good. He is good. Why is this important? Jesus was. Because we need to know Jesus. We need to know that Jesus is God. We live in a world that in increasing measure, and in a society here in the country we live in, that in increasing measure is rejecting that truth that Jesus is God. But Jesus, always and forever, was, is, and forever will be God. He is God. See, Jesus wasn't created like you and me. Jesus just isn't simply a creation of God, born 2,000 years ago, showing up on the scene 2,000 years ago. No, Jesus is God always and forever. Jesus is the eternal one. He didn't enter history on Christmas in Bethlehem. Rather, and you got to write this one down, because as I read my notes here, and I'm going to read this verbatim, I'm like, I'm saving this one and going to probably maybe even tweet it. Ooh, look out. Jesus is the uncreated, eternal God who has always been and will always be. That's who He is. He's the uncreated, eternal God who has always been and will always be. And the world needs to know Him. The world needs to know Him. Your neighbors need to know Him. Your coworkers need to know Him. Your family members need to know Him. Your kids need to know Jesus, the forever Jesus. I know it's exciting. We get to go to nativity scenes and we get to walk our little kids up to the manger and show them baby Jesus. And it's so cute. And it is cute and it's amazing and it's mind blowing as we've talked about. But I want to encourage you, introduce your children, your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends to the eternal Jesus who has always been, who was there at creation, who loves them and created them and knows them. Knows their name. Introduce them to the eternal Jesus. The world needs to know Him. Because of His great love for us, Jesus, the uncreated eternal one, at the appointed time, He stepped down from heaven. He became a man, and He brought salvation to mankind. And it says in Romans 10 that all who call on the name of Jesus and believe on Him will be saved. The goodness of God, the God of forever and always, everlasting to everlasting. See, the eternal God of the universe, Jesus, He put on flesh in order to save you, in order to save me, in order to save us. He put on flesh. The eternal one did. Why? Because salvation could only come through the cross, the place where His body would be broken, the place where His blood would be spilled for you and me as a sacrifice. For our sins, taking upon our sin and giving us new everlasting life in Him. We'll talk about that more next week also. Might be a good time to bring some of those friends and coworkers, family members, yourself. So we talk about the humanity of Jesus, the wonder and the marvel in the humanity of Jesus. But let us always remember this, that Jesus was. Let's go back to John 1. We're going to read this passage with His name inserted. Read along with me. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, And Jesus was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Through Jesus, all things were made. Without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus. I want to ask you all to stand. I just want to encourage you at this point, don't look around. Don't think about anything. I want you to focus on Jesus only. I want you to focus on even the passage of Scripture from John 1:1. I want you to focus your heart and your mind right now on Jesus. I want to ask you, do you know the eternal Jesus that God's Word shows us? Do you know Him? Because you can. In fact, you were created to know Him and to enjoy Him. Do you know the One who was? Always and forever. Do you know Him? You can. You can know Him. I know. It seems amazing. It is amazing. You can know Him. Do you know the One who knows you by name? The same One who was there and created all things. He knows you by name. Do you know Him? You can. You can know Him today and enjoy Him forever. Do you know the eternal Jesus who went to the cross for you? Do you know Him? You can know Him right now. As we begin to sing this next song, I want to at this time invite the altar ministry to come forward. And I just want to invite you, if you want to know Jesus, the Jesus who was, who is, and who is to come, the One who loves you, the Eternal One, if you want to know Him today, as we begin to sing, you can just come forward and just let one of these altar ministers up here know that. And they'll just pray with you and talk with you. And you will experience new life and enjoyment now and forever in Him. Let's sing, church.